Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 287 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is Jody Silberman. And Jody is a paralegal, longtime paralegal out in California, who has focused primarily in family law and estate planning. And she has started her own business, providing paralegal services and divorce coaching services, which is kind of a new thing in some jurisdictions. Certainly in California, it's available. And as a result, has also written a book about the divorce processes and how one can navigate through that. And it's interesting conversation that we have here about how a person like Jody can work either with an attorney to facilitate and make the process more efficient when working with clients, or if a client doesn't have the funds to hire an attorney themselves, how she might be of service to them to proceed on their own basis a little more efficiently. So really kind of an interesting position that she's in and an interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Without any further delay, here is Jody Silberman. Jody Silberman, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Well, I'm delighted to have you, Jody. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I am a paralegal with 30 years experience, and I like to say death, divorce, and taxes, the three guarantees in life. My background is in estate planning, trust and estates, and doing divorce. I worked for large firms and small firms, and I have a personal and professional experience in divorce. My last probably about 15, 20 years prior to starting my own business, I worked in family law and went through my own rough divorce with domestic violence and such. And I worked for my boss who suddenly passed away while I was in the middle of renewing a restraining order against my ex. So I ended up closing his firm on my own, turning everything over to another attorney. And I had so many clients continue calling me that I started my business just called Jody. And I continued, I wrote my book, The Straight Skinny, on how to do your own divorce. And I like to educate people so they can advocate for themselves through their divorce, because I kind of work side by side with attorneys and people representing themselves so that they can understand the process, because people don't really understand the role of what their attorney is and what their capacity is in the divorce. And then they run up these fees calling them for things that the attorney is not, it's not his role to answer. And it's not their, what their capacity is. Their capacity is to apply the law to your case and get you through the legal process. And unfortunately in divorce, there's, you know, 90% of it is emotion. Then there's a lack of understanding of how the process actually works. And that's where we get these unrealistic expectations. Yeah. And people get upset and the emotions are already exacerbated to begin with. So I try and help them through that, to understand that, understand the paperwork, understand the process in dealing with their attorneys, or when they've run out of money and can't have an attorney, now what? How do I finish this? What do I do? Or what do I do just to get through the emotional side of it and how to deal with it better, and tips and tools and referring them to places, because divorce, you're starting a new life. So people don't realize, you know, you don't know what you don't know. until you get me to know it.
I think it's interesting because I can hear as a former you know, family law attorney myself, mm-hmm. I can hear a bunch, you know, attorneys out there saying, well, Neil, why are you having Jody on the program? Because really what she's doing is taking work away from attorneys. And I think that's not necessarily true, not exactly true. And family law attorneys, we can't have it both ways. We can't say we want a paralegal company to do the work that we don't want to do and then complain about having to do the work we don't want to do. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I heard family law attorneys say, I am not a psychologist. I am not here to hold your hand emotionally. I'll do the best I can. I'm here to be your attorney. And so I think you present, frankly, a very unique opportunity to work side by side with attorneys. Is that what you're finding?
That is what I'm finding, because quite frankly, a lot of the times as my role as the paralegal, that would be the capacity that you do. It's many times it's, you know, I hate to say this, but it's adult babysitting is what it boils down to many times. And the attorney's exactly what you said. They are not, that's not their job. They don't have the time, the patience, the energy, and no one can afford for them to be dealing with the emotional aspects of the divorce. And they can't, because it doesn't play into their case. It doesn't help their case. It's not germane to the issues at hand. And the court doesn't have emotion. I don't really take business away from attorneys at all, quite frankly. I get the business that they don't have because the people have run out of money and can't pay them. So they're the clients they don't want. And number two, when I do work with them, it does help them because they're able to focus on their job and what they need to do and don't have to deal with the BS, so to speak. Right. I deal with the hand-holding.
I would imagine that the target attorney or target law firm that you would be most helpful towards is that solo practitioner who's, you know, hasn't graduated much beyond, as I like to say, the three-person firm, me, myself, and I.
Right.
You know? So they don't have their own paralegal, and maybe they're not contracting for it on a per case basis, and so working with somebody like you who can provide that paralegal support service, and plus the other, as you say, you know, non-work related kinds of handholding components to the process is really beneficial to them. And is that who your target? Are you finding your target legal audience is solos, or are you finding it across the board?
I would say across the board, but yeah, primarily solos, 1 to 2. People firms, because there's so, you know, there's so much work involved. So it helps them to alleviate some of the day-to-day tasks that need to get done, making sure that their clients are doing what they need to get done to get it back to them. And also just dealing with those phone calls, those time-consuming phone calls that make it so no one can get any work done.
Right. So tell me a little bit then how the book came into being.
So I kind of wanted to put something out there to show what I do and to help people understand the process and get through the process and in layman's terms and from a legal perspective, so to speak, but not a lawyer's perspective. Because once you start talking lawyer speak, and that's kind of what I do, I translate lawyer speak. I feel like I'm a translator half the time because there's all these words and acronyms and things that we use that they don't understand. So I tried to break all of that down and the process in my book and just be like a guide and a friend. The book is more like a self-help guide and a reference guide. It's not like a book, read it from beginning to end. It's, okay, I need to do, I need orders and I need a request for order. What is that process and how does that work? And how do I deal with the court process emotionally? And what do I do if my ex is constantly late every day? Is this a battle I should fight? Or so it gives them tools to try and deal with some of those little things that they may be calling their attorney for every 10 minutes rather than doing that. It gives them some insight into doing that. What is the next step in the divorce process? Where am I in the process? And how do I keep moving forward? And then it also gives them references for those emotional support system and other support systems to help them through the process so they can effectively navigate the process with or without an attorney.
Yeah.
again, it helps them do their job because they have a specific job. And what happens is, like you said, they're not psychologists and those things, and they end up doing those. Then they can't do their job.
Sure. And I can tell you that, you know, a lot of time that I spent with clients was spent doing exactly what you're talking about, telling them and educating them about the process, what to expect, or why what they expect isn't appropriate. It really had nothing to do with the choices they were making in terms of trying to resolve their divorce. It had to do with what's the next step, or why do I have to go to a deposition? What is a deposition? And while a lot of that can be covered, you know, some people use, they create videos or their own kind of PDF products that they may give to their clients. It would be great to have somebody who could hand them a book as a reference tool and also be there to field those kinds of questions and to say, well, this particular question that you're asking is a legal question. I can't answer that. You know, that's let's save that up so that you can ask the attorney the next time you speak to them.
Correct. And then also help them get it to their attorney in an effective manner. So they're asking effective questions and using everybody's time effectively and not going in there a bunch of stuff that isn't either legal advice or those types of things, so that they're using everybody effectively and getting the most bang for the buck. And the attorney is able to do their job effectively and not get lot, you know, deal with
more efficiently for sure.
Because can actually get to the pertinent issues at hand rather than dealing with dad being late every 10,
right.
You know,
and so many times the client doesn't really even know how to formulate the question. You know, they know something's bothering them, or they're concerned about something, and they maybe ask the wrong question, they get the wrong answer, and then have an incorrect expectation. So it does help to have somebody in that role. And I can see how that would be most beneficial to the attorney. Tell me how you actually produce the book. Cause you know, I'm a tech geek here. So I always want to know, you know, did you sit down with a big pad of paper and a box of sharpened pencils and write it out longhand, or how did you generate it?
Well, no, it's been kind of in the works for a while, just from in my brain, I knew what I wanted to do. So what I actually did is I made some notes and I sat down on Zoom and I just kind of brain dumped. Let me back up. First, I made like an outline. I started mm-hmm. with an outline of everything I wanted to include in my book. And then I kind of went through each issue and I did like this big brain dump into Zoom. I just talked it all into Zoom. Then I had that transcribed. And then once I took that transcription and modified that and pared that down and added and subtracted again via blabbing into Zoom, which is very awkward, by the way. I'm not going to lie. It was definitely an experience.
Right.
And then from there, and that's kind of what I did. And then I would just reread it and pare it down and modify and edit. And then got to the point where I was just didn't want to look at it anymore. And I said, I think done.
I think it's done. And so how do you publish it? Are you self-publishing it? Or are you publishing it through a service?
I self-published it. I worked with a company to help self-publish it. I did self-publish it. I got bestseller on Amazon in 4 different categories for family law, advocacy, domestic relations, and such. And so I've been using it. I've actually had a lot of really good feedback on it as far as the helpfulness and the tool that it was meant for, which is rewarding for me because that's really all I wanted, was just to kind of create a tool and put it out there. All the things that I say to people over and over and over and over again, I kind of put it in that book. It kind of helps them. It's kind of there as a person. So when you can't get in touch with somebody, or you're just kind of sitting and spinning going, oh my gosh, what do I do? That there's that reference guide or some tips and things to help them get through it.
Now I know you live in California, the state that my former family law professor once said that never had a thought that it didn't codify into law. Are there any particular restrictions or kind of things that you have to be careful of providing the services that you do in California?
I am a registered legal document preparer. So for doing document preparation for the general public, for pro pers that are unrepresented, you register with the state as a legal document preparer. So I show them that I am qualified. I have my bachelor's degree. I'm a certified paralegal. I have 30 years paralegal experience working under attorneys. So I do show them all my qualifications, and I'm registered and bonded.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by Center Stage and the Law Firm Marketing Minute, two great podcasts produced by Spotlight Branding. We're a legal marketing company providing content marketing for law firms that actually works, and we created these shows as a free resource to help lawyers like you learn more about marketing and business development. Every Monday, the Law Firm Marketing Minute arrives with a short 10-minute dose of marketing tips and inspiration to help you grow your firm. On Wednesdays, Center Stage arrives with perspective from other lawyers and legal industry experts to help you tackle marketing and other business development challenges. Check both of these shows out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and more. Both shows make great companions for the law entrepreneur, so subscribe today. Hope to see you there soon.
Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. Where does a legal document preparer sit in the pantheon of folks who provide legal services in California? I mean, we start with the attorney at the top, and I'm sure you have, it's different than a paralegal per se.
Yes. Okay. So the difference is a paralegal works under the direction of an attorney, and a legal document preparer prepares legal documents at the direction of a client. So my mantra is, I am not an attorney and I cannot give legal advice. What I can do is I can educate you and provide you my knowledge and experience and explain the process and how it works. I cannot take the law and apply it to your case.
Right. So then if they give you all the information, for instance, to prepare a complaint for absolute divorce, mm-hmm. you can help put that document together for them, and then they file Correct. It on a pro bono basis.
Pro per, not pro bono. Pro bono means we're doing it for free. Pro per means they're representing themselves. I don't do it on a pro bono basis, but I do represent pro per people. And then what I can do is I help them. I'll e-file it for them. I can arrange to get it served, because half the time people, which, you know, these things we take for granted, half the time people don't even know what a process server is.
Right.
I always thought that's just one of those things like people know, but they don't. So I will make sure I can arrange the process server. I can arrange for it to get served. I make sure that the filing is filed. I make sure that they're aware you know, that there's a hearing date on their paper that they need to pay attention to and that they need to show up at, those type of things. And right. then basically their demeanor in court and how to handle the court process, how they should present themselves, how to handle their emotions, how to kind of look at the whole perspective, their perspective, how, what their perspective. They should come out the situation.
Now, how would that change if you were working then with an attorney?
Because with an attorney, many times what happens is they're calling in and they're saying, I mean, when I worked for my boss, I would do pretty much everything. I would negotiate with the attorneys on settlements. I would say, you know, they'd come in and they'd have an issue of support or something like that. And I can sit and talk to them. I could talk to them about an Osler Smith order. I could tell them, oh, there's bonuses and things. So, you know, you may want to discuss an Osler Smith order because of the percentages and the change in support. So this way, if over and above his base pay, you're capturing that percentage. Should there be something?
I guess the question I'm asking more is let's say I'm an attorney. I'm representing a client. It's a fairly, let's just say it's a complex divorce situation for whatever reason. And I say, you know what, I need to bring in some help here so that we can, otherwise our costs are going to exceed your ability to pay. I'm going to bring in Jody Silberman to work with us, work with you specifically, Mr. or Mrs. Client. And so how would your role change in that respect? Would it, or you just be doing that on behalf of the client and working with the attorney to get it all done?
I guess the difference is really because with the attorney, I did everything too. I was the liaison. Basically, they get the file, they retain the client, and it ends up on my desk, and then that's it. That's really how it goes down. So with this, the difference is they're making the calls rather than them not participating whatsoever in their divorce, which is a problem. Yep. And basically the attorney making all the decisions going, okay, they called me complaining about this. Let's go ahead and prepare an RFO and da, da, da. Let's do that. Rather than doing it that way, they're complaining about what's going on. And I go, okay, well, this is what the remedies, this is what the court has available to you. And this is what they have, but I can't tell you what to do. This is the vehicle by which the court has to get in front of them with a complaint.
I can imagine that, you know, sometimes it's a close call for you. You have to err on the side of being, you know, very clear as opposed to kind of just, well, in this little bit, I could tell you this.
No, I am very clear.
You have to be careful there.
Yeah, you do have to be careful. It can be sometimes. So, and I try at all costs. So my people get sick of hearing me say I am not an attorney and I cannot give legal advice because I don't give them advice. And what I'm very careful of doing is I don't take the law and apply it to their case. What I do is everything that I provide to them is public knowledge. It's published by the court. It's public. It's information. It's out. That's out there. I just break it down so they can actually understand what it's saying.
Right.
And then I just basically make sure that the paperwork gets through the process and doesn't get rejected. I make sure that the boxes get checked, that they're following the process, that
they've included the certificate of service.
Correct.
Exactly. Correct. So one of the biggest challenges that I had as a family law attorney, and I think it's true for, you know, most civil litigation, is the discovery process. And in particular, you know, interrogatories and requests for production of documents. Tell me a little bit about how you work with, you know, clients themselves on a pro per basis, and also when you are working on behalf of an attorney with a client, how do you manage that process?
That's actually a big role that I play. I help them, number one, get the appropriate documents, make sure that they're actually getting the appropriate documents, and then I get the quote documents that they turn over to you. Sometimes it's on like napkins. Sometimes it's tissue that came out of their car. I mean, it's crazy the things that you get.
I literally had a client one time come in literally with a box.
Yeah.
A box of stuff and said, it's all in here somewhere. I don't know where. Here, Mr. Attorney, you sort it out.
And I don't want paid for it. Here's my box of receipts from the grocery store for the last 30 years.
Right.
Now, can you figure this out? But I really don't want to, you know, when I get my bill, I'm going to have a stroke because it's going to be, you know, $10,000 for looking right. through this. It's going right. to happen. So I try and avoid that. I try and work with them to either, you know, so the attorney doesn't have to deal with those, or get the client to bring in something that's not going to explain to them, look, if you want to bring in a box of receipts for the last 30 years, that's great, but it's going to cost you. Understand, you are paying right. them out. Read your retainer. So you may want to, you know, put this into some kind of a semblance of order that makes sense. And I try and explain to them how to order it. Like, look, okay, they're looking for your bank statements for the last 5 years. Let's give me this, because you give them specifics. Because if you just send them on a like a scavenger hunt, you end up with everything. Right. So I try and work with them to scale them down, to get exact, to pare it down exactly what we need, and then label it. Give it to me with a post-it on it or something, just so that we know what it is. And then I put the responses together. Quite frankly, I will go through it, make sure they're there, and I'll actually draft the responses for either the attorneys, or have them present it to their attorneys in a manner so that the attorney is getting something that they can actually work with and put together. Right. And then 9 out of 10 times, I actually just put the responses together for the attorneys, because as we know, attorneys, they don't have time nor the patience or desire to deal with discovery responses. Yeah. It's a lot of work. And time, very time.
Tell me, in your jurisdiction, you know, here in Maryland, we have something called collaborative law, the collaborative process. Yes. Do they have something similar in California? Does that change yes. your role any?
It has, actually, quite a bit, actually. And it's because it's become more and more common here in California. Because what they've realized is family law in and of itself is very streamlined process. It's pretty much judicial counsel forms throughout the process. So many attorneys are now working together, and the actual Bar Association recognizes divorce coaching as a profession within the legal industry. And it's people like me and other professionals who understand how family law works that can help people kind of work together to get out of their own ways to come up with a solution, because it's really not rocket science to try and reach it. I try and explain to them what they're doing, how they need mm-hmm. to, you know, first you need to have your pie, and then we can divide that. And we need to know what all those pieces are and really break it down for them. I think that helps with them in coming to a conclusion when we start removing things and really looking at it just as a business transaction, because at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Right.
It's just the dissolution of a partnership. Right. And so I try and get them to wrap their heads around that part of it and deal with the motions separately.
So in that role, in the collaborative process, you would be taking the role as, you know, the divorce coach for a particular client, or?
So sometimes I'll work as a mediator between the okay. two of them. And so, because sometimes if they're working together, they don't necessarily want to hire an attorney, but they need to work through the issues and figure out how to put the paperwork together. Or sometimes they are working with an attorney and they're just bickering back and forth, but it's right. really not to the level of attorney issues, or they just need to figure out how to work together separately, things like that.
So acting as a mediator in that role, that's not considered practicing law.
Correct. Because what uh-huh. I don't do is, again, I don't take the law and apply it to them. I can tell them what the law is and explain it, break it down, and tell them how I've seen it in what I've seen in my experience in doing this. But I don't ever apply it to them and say, oh, this is what you should do and this is how it works. You know, I don't ever do that. And I know enough to know what I know and what I don't right. know. And I just send them off to, you know, I have referrals and right. I love to refer people to people. So,
and tell me how your business itself then is structured. Are you in business as a solo entrepreneur, or do you have staff working with you, or how are you providing these services in the community?
I am a solo entrepreneur. I have now an assistant. I just brought on a new paralegal, and she's just finished. She's gone out of paralegal school, because what I am hoping to do, quite honestly, is many women go through divorce. Maybe they haven't been and they need to find jobs, or they're starting a new career, whatever, or they want to go help other women through this process. So certifying them to help them help other women as a divorce coach. But I also have a paralegal under me, and I have about two or three other experienced paralegals that I work with that will help prepare the documents and work with clients as well, so that everybody has a point of contact. So no one ever feels alone, because I know attorneys are notorious for being impossible to get in touch with. And that's just because of their job.
The divorce and family law in general practice area for a long time was heavily paper driven. You know, the products that paralegals and legal assistants and attorneys processed through the law firm was mostly paper. Now that's changing a great deal over the last few years. How do you handle the exchange of data? Are you scanning it? Are you mailing it? Are you Xeroxing it? You know, what, or all of the above?
All of the above. I always say it's funny you say that, because I always say attorneys are like the last living dinosaur.
A lot of times. Yep.
It really is. Yep. So sometimes I find I am more ahead of the attorneys, and I'm bringing them on board with, like, oh, you know, we don't have to sit in person and go through, you know, 50 reams worth of paper to figure this out. I can email this over to you. We can do it this way. And so definitely I've found many project management tools that are online and shared drives that we use, right. Zoom, email, digitally, and many things. Most courts now, not all, most of them have some form of e-filing. So we're able to do most everything electronically now.
Yeah.
And they even allow for electronic service these days without having to get permission, which is a big thing too.
Well, we're not quite there yet over
on this side.
So anyway. All right, Jody. Well, listen, this sounds fascinating. I wish you the best of luck. It sounds like you've carved out a great niche and are serving the community at large there in a very unique way. Tell our audience, one, how they can get a hold of your book, and two, how they might reach out to you if they want to follow up on any questions or concerns that they might want to address with you.
Of course. My book is called The Straight Skinny Divorce 101, Clarity Through Chaos. They can find it on Amazon. They can search my name, Jody Silberman, S-I-L-B as in boy, E-R-M-A-N-N, or The Straight Skinny, or they can find me at justcalljody.org, and all my information is there. They can request a free discovery call if they like. And then there's also a link for my book and the different services that I do provide, you know, basic wills and trusts, as well as, and divorce, you know, anything they need for legal document preparation. And if I don't know, then I will get them in the right direction.
Awesome. Well, Jody, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed my time here today. Thank you again.
Well, how about that? That's a wrap for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors once again, as usual, Daylight by Market Circle, Spotlight Branding, and Ruby, as in Ruby Receptionist. If you have a chance, swing on by our website at www.lawentrepreneur.com. You can check out a bunch of information and resources there. And if that doesn't satisfy your needs, swing on by our Facebook page or Twitter page. You can find those just by simply searching for The Law Entrepreneur. And if you'd be so kind, I would greatly appreciate it if you go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and an honest review. If you find this podcast is helpful and that you're getting value out of it, it does help with our visibility and ensures that we're going to be there for another 5 years or so, as this has been quite the run. And I'm greatly appreciative of your interest in The Law Entrepreneur.